Summer is heating up, and so are the savings. Sizzling hot deals happening now at Gateway Buick GMC. Save over $8,000 off ticket price on the all-new 2016 GMC Acadia. Lease a brand-new Buick Encore as low as $89 a month. That's right, $89 a month. The brand-new Buick Cascada Convertible is also now available. Visit Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
709 St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn. Doug, over on, your left is Chuckles Marlowe.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, fellas. What's up?
Why don't you carry it from here? Because I'm not going to be much good to you.
How about this?
My alarm didn't go off, and I didn't get breakfast, and I didn't get my big Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, Tim. Doug told me this.
Why don't you eat me then?
Ah!
Yeah, Doug told me this morning. I said, what time did you wake up? And he said, well, I woke up late at 6:05. I said, I got out of bed, no joke, at 6:43.
You know, I put the jinx on myself because I believe it may have been just yesterday when I said I always get up at 2 minutes before the alarm goes off every morning. And, of course, the very next day the alarm doesn't go off and I don't get up.
I got up to use the little wizards. Let me take a look at my sleep app, Charlie, so I can give you a specific time.
Yes, please.
4:10. And I was hopeful that it was earlier because then I would be able to fall back asleep. And It looks like I didn't fall back asleep maybe till 4:40. 4:42, Doug, I don't know.
And slept for how much longer?
I woke up at 5:11 this morning. 71% sleep quality.
Huh. And that little app tells you exactly when you wake up or when you start moving.
Take a look at it?
Yeah. What's a good sleep quality?
100, keeping it 100.
No, I know, but like, what are you normally?
On the weekends in the mid-90s. So I'll sleep for 12 hours. That's standard 39-year-old behavior, I think.
And so you have to have that. You have to have the phone on you when you sleep for it to detect the motion?
Correct. Now, if I use my vibrator, it sets it off. So I always have to remember, coming to use my vibrator, I got to turn my phone app off.
Well, you put that in your pocket or something?
Nah, it's a little pocket rocket, a little dolphin.
But you have your phone in your pocket when you sleep then?
No, it's under the sheet proper.
Okay.
Don't you roll over on it?
No, it's up at the top corner. If my bed were the United States of America, and it's often been compared.
Hold on, Idaho.
No, it's
South Dakota.
Maine.
Ah. Oh, it's on the northeast quadrant.
That's correct.
And where? And what if the other guy's moving around?
He has his own app. Yep. And he's a twink, so he's a little lighter.
Okay. What's wrong with that, Doug?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Before I be with a bear.
Just asking about the sleep quality, that's all.
Yeah, 71% this morning.
I would like to know my sleep quality.
Come on over. Yeah. Water's warm.
What kind of app is that? Is it an app or what?
The name of the app, Charlie, is Sleep Cycle.
Is it free?
Correct.
Have you ever paid for an app? I don't think I've ever paid for one.
Of course, I paid for...
Is Grindr free? That's free.
I paid for Fitbit Finder because I lost my Fitbit.
Oh, you did?
And then it stopped working.
I guess iPhones track steps now as well, although I think that's if you really want to get in shape, just walking around and tracking your steps.
Yeah, can't you tell?
You probably have to ratchet it up a little bit more than that.
It's fun to look at, though.
But don't you know really when you've worked out and when you haven't?
It's more about just your daily activity, though.
Okay, but I think most people are wise enough to know when they've done something of a physical nature to stay in shape, and when they haven't, you don't need your phone to tell you that.
Oh, Doug, 10,000. Mitch the Sex Kitten just sent in his Sleep Cycle app last night.
Oh, how'd he do?
Looks like he had to use a little wizards around 5:10, Mitch, is that right? And he got a 65%. Sorry.
Yeah, you beat him.
Got him.
I did get him.
Now, isn't it possible to sleep well and still move around, still roll around a little bit?
Let me show you one of my good nights of sleep. like after I've put it down and everything's proper.
What about nights where you drink? Is it much worse?
I really don't get drunk in St. Louis all that often, and I don't use it in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you why. Doug, do you want to know why?
Well, sure.
Because I imagine that a number of, as much as I love the Palazzo where we always stay, I imagine a number of deviant things have gone on that bed, and I don't want to reach under the sheet proper.
No, you don't know.
And then, and then dip my hand in sperm.
Ah!
Doug, here's a good night. Here's a good night of my sleep. It looked like a heart rate. That was Friday, June 18th. I went to bed at 11:41 p.m. I woke up at 11:54 a.m.
Well, see, that's too much sleep.
At 95% sleep. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
I'm a big fan of sleep.
Well, I think we all are. But
I sleep all the time. On a day where I don't do radio, I could easily go to bed at 2 and wake up at noon.
God
one.
Bless you, sir. God bless you.
Boy, I haven't had those nights in years and years.
Come on over. There's nothing doing. There's a wiffle ball field, and then there's just a house.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's a carport or two in the neighborhood.
I think it's kids that ruin those sleep nights. There isn't any possible way.
So John Vaughn still comes into your room and says he's got a
Well, they
a
still
tummy
make noise.
Ache.
They come in the house. They go out of the house. Ah, yes, they. People come to the door. When people come to my door, I usually get it.
Then you buy something.
What is it? Yeah, I have a hard time saying no to the salesman.
Charlie, I don't answer the door. I'm very proud that I have instituted that practice throughout the St. Louis area now. No one is answering their door in St. Louis.
When you've got five people living in your house, it's really hard to sleep much past about 8 or 9 o'clock.
That's because Greg Vaughn wakes everybody up.
Well, he's the one that seems to be able to sleep through it all.
Oh, God
but everybody else is up and moving around and talking and... Things happen.
Why
can't sleep till noon.
Why don't you have some earplugs, one of those eye masks, and kind of get some nice REM sleep there, buddy?
Well,
rapid eye movement.
I don't really need 11 or 12 hours. I don't need that much.
What time do you go to bed?
Well, generally 11:30-ish.
So you get a nice 6.5.
That would be tops.
That's not bad.
It's not horrible, no.
I've been splitting mine up. On radio days, I literally have two separate sleeps. I sleep from about 2 to 6, and then I take a nap from about 10:30 to about 1:30.
Why are you going to bed so late there?
I get off work at midnight.
Yeah, I understand. When I did TV, I know what you're talking about.
Or I should say I
wouldn't
get home
until 2 or so.
Yeah.
I understand.
I've been able to work till 10:30 or so and be on the air at 10:30, be home by 11, and asleep by 11:05.
I'm not there yet.
Well, I'm in the Olympic caliber sleeper, Jim.
Yeah, best in the business.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Doug, it's the Acorns Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour on our Lakeview Resort Captain's Log. Take a gander. Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch, who was at Wrigley Field yesterday and will be there again today. 1:20 start for the Cardinals beating the Cubs 2 in a row. He will be with us at 8 o'clock. And then what a treat here at 9 o'clock. The Timberfake family, for the first time ever, Mrs. Timberfake will be in studio. It's Timberfake's birthday, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And he said the only thing he wanted for his birthday was to be in studio with the love of his life.
Really?
Yep. Now, I don't know if that's Tony, that's her name, T-O-N-I, or if it's Doug. I could see it being the Sea Monster. I don't know who. I just know that he wanted to be here, and I said, well, Tony said she can be here at 9 o'clock, and he said this is going to be the greatest birthday ever.
Ugh.
So, Doug, just think something that we get to do 220 days a year is going to be the greatest birthday ever for Timberfake. And I think that puts in perspective everything.
Just what it is we're doing. I'm kind of surprised that a fellow like this on his birthday would want some attention for it. Because he's usually very humble, very low-key.
Sure.
But now he seems to almost to be, you know, trying to get attention for his birthday.
Peacocking.
You know.
Happy birthday.
Well, okay, Mike.
Doug, you didn't want to speak about your birthday at all this year.
No, I'm done with birthdays. Just done with them.
I think you should celebrate every year, another beautiful year.
Nicely done.
Well, you think that when you're your age.
I don't think so. I think you're kind of past that. What are you, 34, right? 35?
I'm 34.
Thank you.
Yeah, no big deal when you have another birthday.
But it's still one day out of 365 where you can get a nice dinner, people call you, people are nice to you.
Oh, I hope nobody calls you.
Oh, yeah, your mom and dad.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's grandparents, nice, but I mean, nobody else. You don't need that.
Well, you get all the family.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that part's okay. It's just a reminder that you're getting older and that your time is short.
I don't look at it like that.
Well, you don't have to look at that.
You
that
don't
way
either.
Yet. Oh, yeah, my not time is old. Short. Oh, I'm in my 80s.
I think we'll be doing this show 30 more years. Excited about it, too.
I got big
things planned for 2020.
I can hear Doug.
This Cardinals team, they got no heart.
Doug, you're so freaking old.
Yeah, no.
Call in 314-880-0080, 314-880-0080. I want to make sure we have the Wiffle Ball tournament on Saturday at Francis Park. It's presented by Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Gets underway. Registration starts at 10, and then games will start soon after that. And Charlie, Doug, and I, along with Steve Stoles and or my brother Danny, who works at KMOV, in the sales department, will be pawning holes as our team, of course, is paying tribute to Jackie's holes. And we've had Stephen Wildwood contacted me. He had a team, but something's going on this weekend for him, so he had to bail. And then I believe that nobody's contacted me, but I see this guy posting on the fan page that he isn't going to be able to make it. So we had 32 teams, but now mm-hmm. it looks like we have two available spots. So if you and three of your compadres wanted to play, email me at tmckernan@insidestl.com. In a surprising late development, looks like you would be able to get in. Only two teams, first come, first serve, and whoever pays that, was it $150 entry fee, if I'm not mistaken? You know, the deal isn't closed until the cash is transferred, okay? Hmm. So once that's done, then you would have a spot. So I believe there are two spots available. 32-team round-robin tournament. Then each group has four teams. Eight teams will emerge into the final tournament. And, Doug, I think Jackie's Holes will be lifting the trophy at around 6:30.
Is that the name of our club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I formed an LLC.
I'm afraid. Shirts. Yeah, what do they look like?
Oh, yeah. We got to get some shirts made.
Well.
What should our team colors?
I guess they'd be brown if you're talking about Jackie's Holes.
Wow.
You're gross.
Wow.
Well, what were you thinking?
Green and white and orange.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
For Ireland.
I'm talking to Doug.
Yeah, whatever happened to Jackie? I
thought you said she imploded because of the whole situation.
I think that she probably did because she has not contacted us in what's probably been 3 or 4 years.
I have no holes.
I know. That was an issue for her.
It's too bad.
Not one. I would just think that you would eventually blow up.
I like Sam Bradford. He's kind of hot.
What else do you have in there, Plow Cub, from the Jackie file?
I think that is that wraps up the Jackie montage, Derek.
Charlie Tuna show.
Yes,
out of nowhere.
She did. Oh, no.
I don't think we could hear you there.
Yeah, I don't Plowsy. Think your mic's
Yeah,
on.
People turn off the mics randomly, but what I said was that isn't the end of the Jackie montage there, Timmy.
Huh. Mm. Boy, I would have thought the Joe Pelosi has herpes, and then Charlie Tuna saying, "Who's Joe Pelosi?"
Yeah.
would be...
Who's Joe Pelosi?
Now, that's the guy who has the diamond company.
Very similar to Charlie Tuna.
I also think you kind of over-exaggerate that guy, because I heard that commercial the other day, and I didn't hear this real nasally.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business.
Frank, how are you today?
We can't let Kroenke build a soccer stadium, can we?
Are you going to hot take it? Listen, we're as close as we can be to a deal with KFNS. We're not going to 101. You don't need to straw man.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, though. That is an interesting argument. We all hate him.
No pride.
We all hate him, but still, if he were to do something else that's potentially good for the city. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd say no thank you to him.
Yeah, I agree.
There are other people out there that could build a soccer stadium.
Yes, if somebody else can build one, I agree with you.
Yeah, no thanks, Stan. You just stay away, please.
But what if he's the only option?
Then we won't have a team.
Really?
Yes.
Even if it's good for the city.
I'm not interested if Stan Kroenke's involved.
I understand that sentiment.
Don't
but
you think
business is business?
Well, yeah, I don't want him to come in here and make more money off St. Louisans.
I don't look at it like that. He's going to have more money than anybody on this planet anyway.
I know he is.
I don't care.
So why
does
he have to be mean-spirited about it?
I agree. I'm just saying the soccer stadium could and should be a good thing for St. Louis, even though we all hate him. So you should look at it, even though it's hard to do that, in a way of, is this good for the area? And it probably is, even though we loathe him.
Yes.
Guys, I will not support the team if he is involved. That comes from M-Town.
I'd have a problem with it.
Stan Kroenke should be arrested.
Yeah, I agree with that. Fence. There are other people all over the country. Stadiums have been built without Stan Kroenke's money. We ought to be able to find a way to do it here.
I'm good with that.
He's not the only one in America with enough money to help get a stadium built.
What if it's a beautiful?
It's not just him.
What if it's top-notch, the best soccer stadium in the country?
I don't care. I don't care. You would say okay?
I'm not saying I would say okay and feel great about it, but that's what I was thinking about yesterday. Obviously, we all hate him. We hate what he did to St. Louis. But from a business standpoint, if he gives you the best option, the best stadium, that is something I think you should consider.
Well, maybe someone more level-headed would consider it. I wouldn't. Just out of spite at this point.
I fancy myself a sociopath. I pride myself on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have a tough time with it. I really would. I'm not drawing a line in the sand, but I really would have a tough time. I don't know what the options are. So to speak in any form of an absolute, for me, I'm not there. But I truly would have a tough time with it. And that's not how I felt before the meetings in Houston in early mid-January. I always felt, unfortunately, that he had the right to do it. I felt like St. Louis and the state of Missouri dragged its feet. And really, the root of the problem was the lease that was drawn up 20-plus years ago. But then after seeing the charade that took place in Houston, contrary to what Doug and the Cat were saying in advance of it, that you guys thought it was rigged, I now also feel like it was rigged. I was wrong. So I have a tough time with that. That's dirty pool. And then it seems, well, it doesn't seem, numerous business partners of his over decades wind up suing him, which, you know, one, maybe even two, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned or a terminated employee. But when you have a large sample size of business partners who wind up suing him, that's an illustration of the integrity that many in the St. Louis area, or nearly all in the St. Louis area, call into question. And once again, I don't fault. I mean, the lease was constructed by, or approved, signed off by, St. Louisans in the 1990s. But, you know, what took place in Houston? I am telling you.
Yeah,
I recommend Carson 5-1. Perfect. What's the final vote count on the Rams going to Inglewood? 30-2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you guys at the next meeting.
I wouldn't want him involved in anything that happens in this city again, if it was up to me. He's going to want tax breaks and whatnot. I'd say no thanks.
That's what
he needs. We'll do without a team.
Guys, the MLS will only put a team in St. Louis if it's downtown. They've basically already said that. There will not be a stadium in Maryland Heights. That comes from the 314.
I hope that's the case. Downtown needs it. Maryland Heights might want it, but they don't really need it. Downtown area needs it.
And
downtown would be easier to get to for most people in the area, for people on the east side and all over. All highways lead to downtown.
The more you think about it, and Stan Kroenke, the more I just really, really dislike him even more with the fact that, and all the NFL owners are like this, but you're a billionaire and you still hold a lot of these cities hostage for paying and financing your stadium. I know that wasn't the case in LA, but that was the case obviously in St. Louis. And then you make your money off Walmart, where the workers don't make very much money, and we subsidize a lot of their workers who are still eligible for welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he's making $8-9 billion.
I know. Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
It is sick.
Your thoughts, would you support an MLS team in St. Louis if Stan Kroenke's land were where it would be built? 314-880-0808 is how you can text in. You can call in on the appliance discounter phone lines with six area locations. It's the Appliance Discounters at theappliancediscounters.com, the sponsor of our phone lines. The Appliance Discounters. Number of our listeners have emailed me, posted on the fan page that they go there and they save hundreds of dollars for real. This isn't just like a selling point. It's true stories, anecdotes from our listeners. The Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. I would imagine overwhelmingly the answer would be a no. But I know a lot of people just want a team here, and if that's the cost of doing business, I don't know if it's fair to put the question out there, because I wouldn't imagine that's the only option, and is made reference by one of the texters. I know that downtown has been the focal point, at least in the public comments regarding an MLS team in St. Louis.
I would imagine that the MLS would do a lot of research and be somewhat concerned about the reaction of any team being awarded to St. Louis if Stan Kroenke was somehow involved. Because I would think there would be a huge negative backlash, and that's something that the league would not be interested in taking on.
The money plays, too. If he has the best deal, the best stadium.
Yeah, but if people don't support the team, then it's going to be a lost, you know, it's going to be a disastrous move.
I don't think long-term people won't support the team. I think even Stan Kroenke would be smart enough to kind of stay away. And he stays away anyway.
Yeah, he stays away. But nonetheless, if it gets out that here's a Kroenke stadium, here's another team owned by Kroenke or has anything to do with it, I think a lot of people would say, no thanks, count me out.
I could see that feeling initially, but once you get to know the coach and the players, I feel like that's more of the focus. Like, I never took this out on the Rams players. You know, when they were going through all this, you still liked a lot of those guys. I think there'd be similar feelings.
There'd be a lot of people who wouldn't care at all and would go. But I don't think it's a slam dunk anyway. I don't think the MLS in St. Louis is a slam dunk. We would be a city near the top of the list for areas that would support a team, I'm sure. But nonetheless, it's not basketball. It's not football. It is soccer. It's not a slam dunk that any team you move here is going to be a howling success. And if you throw Stan Kroenke into the equation, I think it would even lessen the chances of its.
Did you watch the Argentina game last night?
I didn't.
It's Argentina.
Oh, is that how you say it?
Argentina.
Don't say that like that.
That sounds more
German almost. Although they have a lot of German people down there now.
When I took Spanish, they said Argentina.
That sounds better.
Yeah, it sounds like you're now saying it with more Espanol influence.
Puedo ir al baño.
Wonderful.
Nice job.
See? Right there.
The goal by Messi, I mean, God, what in the world? I mean, that was insane. It's like you could, I think he could walk up there and place it. That's the only place he could place it, and that's where he was able to kick the ball. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. I tuned in, and it was a shipping, early on.
Yeah, a 4-0 shipping.
4-0, they say.
I never do.
Sam Soccer, but I was watching that, and I feel like off the top of my head, I could not think of a better goal I've ever seen in my lifetime. Now, granted, it wasn't the World Cup. It wasn't the greatest of stages, but still a pretty big stage. That was the best goal that I can remember ever seeing.
It's hard to overstate how poor the Americans were in this Copa America semifinal, how big the egg they laid, and arguably the most important match this team has ever played outside of a World Cup really was. That the tournament hosts weren't favored to get to the semis does little to soften the blow. Tuesday's debacle was a missed opportunity for the U.S. Despite all the talk in the days leading up to the game about how an upset was possible, it was no secret that Argentina, number one ranked in the world, was always the overwhelming favorite to advance. The fact that they did was no surprise, but the way they secured the victory, the lack of resistance the home team showed in a game of this magnitude, one that non-soccer fans were talking about beforehand, that's a different story. That comes from ESPN.com.
They generated 0 shots on goal. That sounds bad.
Those stats are misleading.
I guess they are.
Right. I have to disagree with that last sentence of the article, though. I don't think non-soccer fans were really into this match.
I tuned in, but I consider myself a soccer fan / casual soccer fan. Certainly not as into it as others, but definitely into it. Casually, however.
Like, did it make you want to watch that more than a Cardinals-Cubs game?
Yes. I mean, the Cardinals, to me, are a middling baseball team. I know that people now are excited, even though 72 hours ago they were furious.
I watched a bit of the Cardinal game over the soccer game. I can get into the soccer if it's the Olympics or the World Cup. If it's anything other than that,
yeah, but they're playing the number one team, and it was Copa America semis, and they weren't supposed to be there, so I was excited to see him. Plus, they're playing Messi, and I want to watch him play against the United States. So that was something that, to me, is quite rare. And, of course, as an American, you go in hoping for the upset, and they score, what, like 248 in, and then Messi's free kick. But you appreciate it. I mean, it's so perfect. You appreciate it. So, you flip back over to the Cardinals, and I loved your tweet. You hashtag results oriented it, and it's been two straight results oriented festivals. On the other side of it, the Cardinals outplayed the Rangers for my money on Sunday, and just because Aledmys Diaz dicked around, but I mean, you got Mitch Moreland running.
He's quick.
You don't see speed like that. I think I would go back to right before Vince Coleman was run over by the tarp is the last time you've seen speed like that at Busch Stadium, and that was a different ballpark. So the Cardinals outplay the Rangers, should have won on Sunday, and I think you could make a case that they were very fortunate to win both in Chicago. But the last five games they've played have been one-run games. You know what that means to me? They could have gone either way.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing.
Use that for a promo.
Good thing to take away.
Oh, Shark.
It was another quality start. Had the bullpen been a little bit better, yeah, they would be two or three games better off than they are now. I know that it's still a long, long way, but at least they won two games that really feel good. I don't think they'll beat Arrieta this afternoon.
You don't know that.
But you know, well, they're 10.5 out now. If you could somehow get that down to six and a half by the All-Star break, seven, you know, it wouldn't be completely over. I mean, when you look at the two rosters, you don't like the Cardinals' chances very much, I don't think. But, you know, at least they made it somewhat interesting. Had they gone in there and been swept, then it would have really been rough.
Yeah. As Matt Carpenter said, you know, after you lose five in a row and three straight against the Rangers that were all winnable games, even though Friday night's 1-0 loss, I don't know how winnable it felt since there was just nothing going on offensively. But at the same time, the Rangers only scored one run. An Odor's home run. It is encouraging to see them respond against a team that's been playing at the level the Cubs have been playing and continue to get the quality of outings from Adam Wainwright that they're getting. That is a major turn from where things were at the start of the season.
Last night's win improved their run differential by plus one.
Now, I don't understand this.
It's the number of runs you've scored versus the number of runs you've allowed. And so since the Cardinals won by a run, their run differential improved by plus one. And the Cubs then would have come down by one.
Wow.
I don't expect you guys to understand
it. I need a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, it's advanced, so don't hurt yourself trying to think too much.
So what does that mean in the greater scope of things?
It means when you're looking at run differentials,
okay,
these things will vary almost game to game. That's what it means.
How about the fact, I think now the Cardinals, I'm trying to look through really quickly, I think they're the best road team in all of baseball along with the Cubs now. They're both.
Yeah, they've won at least, what, six in a row. They won three in Pittsburgh and two in a row, five in a row, I should say, and then two in Chicago. Pirates are a mess.
Hottest team in baseball, Atlanta Braves.
This is the team you said keep an eye on.
They won six in a row, yeah.
And their run differential, Doug.
Minus 95.
Minus 95, but you said that's misleading.
Well, it's misleading a little bit, yeah. I would have thought this time of year it'd be in the minus 85 area.
Yeah.
And there it sits at 95. It's a big number.
Minus 95.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even the worst in baseball. Minnesota Twins, minus 112.
Yeah.
A lot of bad teams.
It's a horrible year to be a fan when you're in the middle of June and your team is 15 games out, 20 games out. I mean, you just cash it in for the year, don't you?
I don't think a lot of people in Atlanta were.
No, you know, not Atlanta, but there are other teams. There are a handful that are in that
bad shape. The second wild card keeps everybody relevant. It kind of cons you into, you know.
But the Padres are 15 out, Reds 20, Brewers 17, Pirates 14, Braves 18, Phillies 13. American League's got a bunch of teams, but it's just hopeless at this point.
Are you talking about first place? You're talking about wild card, baby.
Even wild card.
I mean, the Cardinals are half game out of a playoff spot.
No.
What up, NHL? But, you know, I mean, you got to keep an eye on the Marlins. They're a game up on the Marlins. So I've been watching
a lot of their games, have you?
Ozuna's recent rise, and I go, oh, damn it, not now, not with this wild card race.
Yeah.
And then the Rockies are only 3.5 back.
Yeah, those Rockies, I tell you what.
And so Jacoby Ellsbury's sick, and they don't have to deal with him when they're playing the Yankees, and I'm pissed about that. So think about that as the Rockies are nipping at the Cardinals' heels in the second wild card race.
You're pissed for fantasy purposes?
No, he rides pine for me, though.
But he's a good stolen base option.
He doesn't steal much.
Doesn't he have about 12, 13?
Yeah, but that was done before he got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't steal much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I talking about my fantasy team in
general.
Pirates
are 3 games under 500. Just a mess.
Yeah, what's happened to them?
A lot of injuries.
Garrett Cole.
Yeah. That's from the Burger one.
Frankie Cervelli.
Yeah, he was off to a hell of a start.
Mm-hmm. Mazeroski has struggled.
Mazeroski.
You don't hear of him doing much of anything.
Yeah. Willie Stargell.
Stargell's not hitting him out like he once
did. Cecilio Guante.
Oh, yeah, Guante, sure.
John Candelaria.
Yeah. Andy Mann.
Bob Walk.
Bob Walk, indeed, yes.
Dave
Dick
Parker
Hoke.
The Cobra.
Dick
Spanky,
Hoke.
Spanky Lavalier.
Yeah. Silent. Crickets.
Doug, we were 12.5 games out 2 days ago. Should we pack it in? Thanks. That's from the 314.
No. Uh-uh.
I have a wedding to go to this weekend. It's me plus one. Doug, will you be my plus one? That comes
no,
from the
sir.
Other Fat Ellen. And that's because Doug has a wiffle ball tournament on Jackie's Holes.
Yeah. And I'm already engaged to a lady called Lady Journalism.
Do you have to anchor on Saturday's bin?
Oh, of course.
I'm sure. Wondering, though.
What happens when we're playing in the championship?
Yes.
You think we'll get into the championship, do you?
I mean, look at me and you and Charlie.
Yeah, that's why I said I could go ahead and be there at work.
But, Doug, you're having these frozen shoulder issues, and I'm wondering. Can you really chuck the ball?
No,
can
I could not
pitch.
Can you
get a good, nice swing in? Have you practiced
I think
your
I
swing?
Can, it's going to hurt. I can swing. I can't throw.
Are you going to have a sweeping, loopy swing now because you can't?
Short and choppy. Yeah, I'll get a wide base. That much is certain.
Yeah, you can throw kind of sidearm, right?
I won't have to. I couldn't pitch, no. Because the pitchers actually throw the ball. They throw it hard.
Wawa can flat out deal.
And it's a motion that kind of hurts your arm when you make that really hard throw and there's no weight behind it.
Yeah.
It almost hurts more to throw a lot of wiffle ball or tennis ball than it does a baseball, I think.
Guys, it's my birthday today. Also, I just want only two things. Huh. One, a birthday wish from my hero, my idol, Mr. McKernan. I like that, Mr. McKernan.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. McMahon. Second, the popular MMF with Doug, my wife, and myself. Doug, she can sit in the corner and watch her videotape while we get busy. What you think? Also, she's really horny for you, Doug. That comes from Fred from the poor part of the nail.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the wife who I believe is engaging in lesbian behavior with Bubbles' girlfriend.
Okay.
Who's Bubbles?
And you've vetted these people.
I've met them all.
You have. And they seem very odd.
No, I think they're wonderful people.
They're wonderful.
Pro-lesbian. Apparently, New Athens, Illinois is a hotbed of lesbians.
Well, I wouldn't think that. That's Whitey Herzog's hometown.
Yeah, that's White Rat.
I don't think he would have permitted that.
Doug Ellsbury shouldn't be rostered. Thanks, Eric, in the Central West End. He rides pine for the Southside Seamen.
Does he? Good backup option, though. He's playing every night, isn't he?
Well, he was on the Vomit Comet yesterday. And so the Rockies were able to take advantage of no Jacoby Ellsbury.
Okay.
And so now the Rockies are nipping at the Cardinals' heels in this wild card race.
Mm-hmm.
Nip, nip, nipping.
I've never been to New Athens, Illinois, though.
Why don't you go up there for one of their dildo parties? New Athens, it seems like Fred from the poor part of the nail's wife and Bubbles' girlfriend. Very active.
I'm not even exactly sure where it is.
I was just going to say, is it on 70 or 55?
I don't know.
I feel like I've driven past the exit.
I mean, is it like 50 miles away from here?
Closer
probably. Than that.
Let's look it up.
All right.
I'll do it.
And look up Germantown when you're there. I always think of Germantown's probably right next to New Athens. That's a Red Shaney's hometown.
Hey, Tim, I was thinking about going to Billy G's for the first time this Saturday, but I don't want to go unless you're going to be there.
Living.
That sounded serious.
Also, I can bring my 30-something friend Paul, who has no kids, to hang out with you, too. Thanks. That comes from Sean Mahoney's dead eye.
Well, that's a nice gesture. You'll have a playmate while you're there.
Yeah, this Sean Mahoney's really trying to hook me up with people. Or it's his dead eye. It's not Sean.
He doesn't see the situation straight, apparently.
That's correct.
And will you be there this weekend?
Well,
Saturday, no.
And then the garage, right next to my parents' house
right.
with the bar.
Sure.
They have said we could use that postgame for a little bit of a pony.
And they want all these people in the garage.
Well, I don't think it would be everybody.
With access to the home proper.
I don't know about that. But
well,
maybe,
there is a door right there from the garage into the home proper.
No, maybe I'd just say, hey, if you need to use the restroom, like Roderick, use my parents' home.
Yeah. You think there's a risk Roderick will just walk into your parents' home again and say, hey, where's the restroom?
I could see that.
He doesn't seem to have any trouble doing that.
Yeah. Charlie, you have like a party or something on Sattersbin?
Yes, but it's later on.
What do you
I'll be there
on?
For the ship if we make it.
We will make it, sir.
When we make it, Doug.
Yes! Mm. Power of positive thinking.
You have the schedule? You know when the first game is?
I don't. Plowcock, do you happen to have the schedule for the first game for Jackie's Holes at this Saturday's third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament presented by Bud Light?
No, Tim, I didn't get that email, so I'll check it out and get back to you guys.
No schedule.
No schedule.
We can just get there and take grounders.
You don't really have to take grounders.
I'm going to have to throw a flat ground side session.
You don't won't need a side session either.
I talked to Stoles yesterday, and he might not be available. So
No.
So now I got to contact my brother and let him know he's back in. He might reject it, though. It's an awkward thing.
He said his feelings hurt.
Well, he found out that Charlie was playing instead of him over the radio, but I thought I was doing my brother a favor.
Yeah. So who's going to pitch?
I guess I got to get loose. I'm kind of like Mike Hampton out there, you know? I'm as tiny as the day I was born.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cardinals had a reliever named Bobby Shantz years ago that was about 5'9 or so.
Oh, I dream of being 5'9.
That would be good?
Oh, yeah. My God. I can't even imagine what it would be like.
Huh. Well, so can you pitch? Can you throw hard? Can you rock and fire? Bow your neck? Toe the slab?
Being 5'2, it's difficult to get the ball from the slab to the dish.
I bet it is. You just kind of heave it.
Right.
And the ball comes in on a pretty flat plane, too. It's going to come in waist high for everybody.
You need that downward plane. Like
yeah, Michael Walker.
Downward plane.
Yeah, as soon as
downward plane. He has that downward plane. Change up. I like the way he is throwing.
You need some tilt and some depth to your pitches.
Mm-hmm. He's the only one that's ever
that's
ever mentioned that he has a downward plane.
How's your slide pitcher. Piece?
Hey, Tim, Doug told me that the app Grindr could help you find a lot of guys who you could hang out with on the weekends. Thanks, the Hunchback of Vaughn Castle.
By the way, New Athens is 32.8 miles, I believe, from downtown proper.
Okay.
That's not bad. Which direction? Is it like southeast?
It is southeast. Okay. And so 64
okay.
wouldn't be like a great way to get there. I think you have to go Illinois 15.
Why don't we go do a remote there and then watch the lesbianism break out?
Yeah. Is it down there around Waterloo or just farther? That direction, probably.
It's past Belleville. I'm trying to get an expanded map here.
All right.
Guys, Jeff Lottie was only 5'3".
He was not. Jeff Lottie was probably 6'2".
Doug, basically it's Belleville, and then you got Freeburg, and then you keep going a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you got New Athens.
Okay. Just a little beyond Freeburg. Those are cool little towns out there.
Yeah. It's right near the Kaskaskia River.
Oh, sure.
Oh, the Kaskaskia River monster. He texts in. Guys, my buddy Buzzley is a great pitcher. He'll play with you. That's the Duchess of Rudder.
Huh.
Yeah, maybe we can, like, choose our pitcher from the text inbox.
Right. So we're kind of scouting for a pitcher right now?
If Stoles is not available,
well, he's going to
let me
know.
He's going to let me know here.
I'll be a starter soon. I just got to tell Mike.
Rosenthal.
All right. Yeah, maybe we should. We still have time to work out a pitcher or two.
Yeah, we can do. You want to do tryouts over at my place this afternoon?
Well,
I got an inning in me. How long are the games? Are they by time?
Plow star, do you know how long?
By inning?
I think they are by time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get like 40 minutes?
Yeah, and then all hell breaks loose because all it takes is one. It's like at a poker table. One guy at a table of 10 can ruin the entire game. Charlie, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
In this tournament, all it takes is one, really one person, but one team who's taking it just a little seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get a little. And that's what we had a staff meeting on the Wiffle Ball Tournament on Monday, and a couple of new people, Tabitha left, Kate has replaced Tabitha. She's wonderful. And I said, listen, because I've been dealing with this for a few years now,
you are going to get yelled at on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be very mean. I don't know how many times it'll happen, but I know it will happen. So the key is remain cool. Picture Billy Dee Williams is what I said. I wrote that up on the board, right, on the whiteboard. Picture Billy Dee Williams.
You can take the inmate out of prison. You can't take the prison out of the inmate. So these people, many of them on work release, are going to be, they're going to have some pent-up anger.
Right.
Some will try to make a run for it. Some will try to make a run for it.
How can you be mad about wiffle ball in any way, shape, or form?
Wait till you see it, and then you'll see the answer.
Tim, I'll be there for security reasons. If anybody does need to get escorted off the park, I'll be more than happy to do that.
You'll be the muscle.
Do you have to work at Billy G's on Saturday?
Trying to get it off. Asked for it off a couple weeks ago. Was unsuccessful, so trying to switch around some scheduling so I can make it.
Yeah. Get wasted with it. But you wouldn't get drunk. You'd just get high.
Yeah, I think I would have a few beers, but yeah, I would get high for sure.
Not right there in the park, would you?
No, no.
Behind the tree.
My parents' house, I assume.
That's what driving around in Lumen is all about, Doug.
Yeah, you just drive around the park. Just make laps. Hot laps. Right? Like Cougar Hunter Jake.
So you'll be driving around the park getting high.
Eventually, Doug, you'll see me. You'll be out in right field, and you'll see the Lumina rolling really slow, probably with Cucky and Deke in there.
Right.
And just hanging out, having a good time there, buddy.
That's three great Americans, sir.
These have become your new partners?
Cucky, oh, we're just regular old gal pals. I love those guys.
Really?
These are your pop buddies?
Deke and Cucky are just good peeps, nonetheless.
That's true. They are.
Dotem smokes a lot of chronic?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of threw him under the bus right there.
Not really. I mean, his name isn't Deke Dotem.
No, it isn't.
So I didn't really throw any actual person under the bus.
Okay.
I agree with you, Plowstar.
All right.
Hey, Tim, what time works for you and Anna Marie on Saturday? Are we still on for our dub date? Shrewsbury Seminary student. Boy, a lot of the listeners want to go out.
They do. Is it just them? Or do they have a...
Well,
are they
Sean Mahoney's dead eye has been sending in pictures of his friends' wives into the text inbox.
He's offering up his friends.
They're from the back at the beach. So, like, the women are walking into the ocean.
That's kind of dangerous. That'd be a dangerous picture.
What, that they're walking into the ocean or that
no,
they're just sending in pictures of
you have to make
listeners?
Your decision based on a picture of someone walking.
Well, just the overall premise, which was just kind of a talking point, because I saw Charlie and Jess Saturday at the gym, and I said, what y'all doing tonight?
Oh, wow, that is cool. Boy, just the way you said it, it's cool.
And Charlie's like, we got to go to a party. But if you're up at Billy G's, because that's, of course, where I would be, maybe we'll see if we want to go up there afterwards. And like I said, it's just me and Anna Marie sitting there because we are married in St. Louis in our 30s, and therefore that means we have no friends because all of our friends have children. We have friends. Well, they can't booze. And I respect. I'm not chastised. I totally understand it.
Sure. Well, it does get to be
So now the listeners are trying to play Bumble for me.
Once your kids start going to school, your friends tend to be the parents of
What if you don't
your,
like
kids' friends? Well, there'll be so many of them that you'll like some of them. You'll like most of them. In some cases, you'll like all of them.
What if my demon seed can't procreate?
Well, you could adopt.
No, would never do it.
Why?
Because I'm not interested in it.
Well, then, I don't know. If your demon seed won't procreate, then I guess you'll be without a child.
You could also be the guy, though. You could coach the local Little League team.
Without a son,
even
there.
Though you don't have a kid, and that's never weird.
Maybe you get a job as a scoutmaster.
Would you be cool with that if I just went up to Little League games and scouted just to figure out which team I wanted to coach?
Take pictures and everything. Years. Yeah.
Have a clipboard. Have a Jugs gun.
Grow out a mustache, sunglasses, or a mesh cap,
have
jeans
shorts.
And a Slayer shirt.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there'd be a soul have any trouble with that.
Tim, we have no kids too, thanks.
Oh, gosh, here come the kidless lemmings.
I think people with kids, though, they still booze. They just do it at their house.
Oh, is that right?
You know what I'm saying?
My buddy Joe Stats.
Yeah.
If the light is on, is at a house, you can come on by and drink.
Yeah.
Joe Stats, best in the business.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of people with two, three, four kids get a sitter so they can go out drinking at the bars.
I don't think I would want to do that.
No, you wouldn't. I'm sure there's some, but...
But Anna Marie and I went out to dinner both Friday and Saturday night, and it was just kind of like, all right, where do you want to go? And that was the bigger decision. And I recognize that for most people, especially 39, younger, hell, some in 20s, that's not an option. But they are thrilled to have their precious bundles of joy with which to spend time and go to Red Robin and have bottomless fries. And right. I got to tell you, bottomless fries sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah. I had the bottomless broccoli there once, and the second helping was not very good, which led me to believe they don't really want you to eat all Shocking. That you can eat. They want to make it so bad that you go, no, that's good.
Why would you even want that?
Well, I didn't want the fries.
Doug keeps it tight and rewarding, baby.
I did not want the fries. I said, my side was broccoli. Is that bottomless? I said, yes, sir, it is. So they brought me the second helping, and it wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one, which led me to believe they don't really want you to eat all you can eat.
Tim, I have two kids. You can have one of mine. Thanks, Lefty Jacksmere. Tim, if you ever do have kids, your new circle of friends is only about 20 years old right now. Hashtag think about it. That's from Mr. Sam.
Yeah, that's not true.
What if I have a kid,
not
though?
True. 20, yeah.
What if I have a kid, let's say, in the next 2 years? Will I be an old dad compared to, like, everybody else?
You'll probably be on the older. You'll be in the 66th percentile.
Yeah, that's okay. About right. I was usually the older dad in Little League, and I had my first kid when I was 33, and the last one at 39.
You were probably like the older, hotter dad, though, like Rock Hudson.
Hotter, yeah, for sure, hotter. Yeah. So I guess you probably would be one of the older dads.
Tim, may I please carry your child? Thanks, Barnhart Brawler. Mm-hmm.
I don't care if my daughter ends up gay.
Call Adam. Doug, he's on a team in the wiffle ball tournament on Saturday called the Wentzville Jackwagons. What if they were put in our group, Group A?
It'd be disappointing.
How is our group? Is it tough?
Doug, I know you've taken a look at some of the video.
Yeah, it's the group of death is what they said. Any group involving a pitcher who can throw real hard and make it swoosh in and out, that's the group of death. I'm afraid if Stolz doesn't show up, we're doomed.
It would be a problem. I do think we could probably put out an APB, though, on the text inbox and have ourselves a real nice ringer. Me, you, and Charlie Rake. I'm the scrappy leadoff guy that
sure.
You know just kind of barely gets a piece of contact to right field because I can't get around on it, just too weak.
Yeah.
But we get on base, and we rake. You know, I'm excited about where we are. Tim, take my rat bastard kids, one of each, 10 and 11. I had to tell them at 4 p.m. Sunday that they never told me Happy Father's Day. Thanks, Southside Mandiver.
Yeah, kids today.
Isn't that the mom's fault, though? I feel like the kid doesn't wake up knowing it's Father's Day. That's the mom's fault for not telling the kid and also for buying a gift, you know, from the kids. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, that happens. Well, the 10 and 11-year-olds don't have a lot of time to go out on their own to the mall.
That's what I'm saying. So if the kids don't wish you Happy Father's Day.
With Uber, though, they probably can.
Well, I don't think you'd want to do that.
That's the mom's fault, in my opinion. She was probably
mad. Well, that's the millennial thinking, that it's always the parents' fault.
Doug, it's 10 or 11 years old.
That's an 11-year-old is a fifth grader.
Too much.
That's a fifth grader.
Okay, a 10 or 11-year-old is not a millennial.
What are they?
They're just a kid.
Yeah. But that's a fifth grader, and a fifth grader is old enough to know it's Father's Day.
I don't know. I think if a kid wakes up, it helps if mom or dad tells them that. And also, they have no money. So if you want to get a gift, the parent has to buy it. That's not being a millennial.
No, that's
being 10.
That's true. But he's just saying to say Happy Father's Day is all he was looking for. He wasn't looking for an expensive gift.
If I'm 10 and I wake up on a Sunday, I probably don't know it's Father's Day unless somebody tells me.
Right. Well, maybe mother did tell them and they still didn't say anything.
That's bad then.
Yeah.
Tim, do not have kids. How can we live vicariously through you if you end up just like us? Thanks, Tom Bernanski's Batwing.
Good point.
Tim, I want to hang out with you and Anna Marie. My girlfriend and I both think she's a smoke show. It's important to be seen in a social setting with beautiful people. It's from the Ball and Bottom Feeder. Is that an important thing?
For the Facebook pics. How come they didn't say you're a smoke show, though?
I know. That seems like that must have been edited out.
It's like, wait, is there only one beautiful person in this
exactly.
couple?
I mean, my God,
you consider
she's overachieving.
You consider yourself a smoke show, don't you?
Of course
you?
I do.
Yeah. Smoke bomb?
It's kind of like in the Roman Empire where the bulkier Lane Bryant models were the dream. Right now, in 2016 America, the short, bald, lopsided look is all the rage.
Oh, I bet.
A lot of guys want to bang you.
I do want to say this, though. I think in terms of body image, Doug, I do like the fact, even though sometimes it goes overboard, it seems like with women, curves are much more back in.
But it curves does not then open up the door to, you know.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is,
right,
bulky.
I feel like that's happening.
Yes, but I feel like for a lot of my youth or teens or 20s, the real waif looking model.
I don't like
look,
that. I don't like that.
I never liked.
I don't like that. I'm more Keisha Gray than Alex Gray. You follow me on that?
Who's Alex Gray?
Caden's really high on Alex Gray, and she said, take a look at her, and I go, I don't know.
Well, that's all an individual choice.
But she's waif-like, like the Kate Moss in the 90s, you know, heroin chic, baby, heroin chic.
But does it
give me some curves like Keisha Gray, or, of course, Lana Rhodes, the next Jenna Jameson.
But I don't think it, for me anyway, it doesn't ever change what I find attractive, despite what the trends might say, oh, bigger is in now. That doesn't change my
opinion. Are you a size queen, boy?
I'm saying it doesn't change my opinion as to what's attractive. Just because bigger seems to be in, that's bigger in the eyes of who? The person doing this internet site or this magazine?
What's attractive to you? Give me your perfect woman.
Great question.
Well, I don't really go in for the bigger look.
Delta Burke.
Not so much.
Roseanne
no.
Barr.
No, not so much. Mm-mm. And you can tell
another
me that,
big woman.
You can tell me that big is in. It's accepted. Well, it might be in for you, but it doesn't change what's in for other people. It's not going to change other people's minds of what they like.
Why do you fat shame?
Doug.
Fat shaming anybody.
I'm more Alexis Texas, but as we know, she's in the no swirl zone. That comes from Manchild
79. What does that mean?
I actually think I know what it means.
What's a no swirl zone?
I believe Alexis Texas does not do interracial scenes. I think that's what that means.
That's what a swirl is, because a vanilla and chocolate ice cream
I
cone together
that's what
is a
it
swirl.
Manchild 79 enlightening us in the Acorns Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour. Derek Gould on the other side of the break. The Timberfakes are going to be in studio at 9 o'clock. It's a huge birthday celebration for Timberfake. And we're going to meet Tony Timberfake, who is legitimately attractive. Like, legitimate, like, this isn't like, oh, your girlfriend's good looking. And then we're all kind of like, what the hell was that?
From what I've seen on the picture, she looks like a supermodel.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. I'm starting to wonder if Timberfakes hung like Lexington Steel.
Well, the last girlfriend, I think, was a hostage. I think that was more of a kidnapping situation, and she developed Stockholm Syndrome, where she began, you know, to relate to her captor. And this could be a similar situation.
We'll get
know?
To the bottom of it.
All right.
I'll tell Tony to give us hand signals if she's under siege.
Under duress.
Thank you. Derek Gould next, Ryan Kelly Morning After.